So, welcome to the Boruto podcast. This is chapter 18 review, and we're joined by Miri, Vladimir, Watch Boruto, Strix, TM1XY, and a few more. So, this chapter has Matsuri on the cover. And I gotta say, the cover is dope. And props to Ikemoto for that. So, this chapter starts off with Sumire. And it's this Sumire, I gotta say, Sumire is 100% a main character. They're literally showing it. She's at the start of this chapter. And you can already tell that the vibes are, you know, you can tell. We're on page one or page three.
Yeah, I think like Sumire like is all bummed because of her conversation with Sarada. I mean, you can see it in her face.
Yeah, but it's not just her body language, but it's also the way that they're playing this out. The way you came out through this, you can really feel the energy that this is giving. Like the angles of stuff and the close ups, you know. It's in the text here. There's no dialogue, it's just like that. And we see, wow, right off the bat, Sumire walks in and Kawaki has Amuro in like a tough spot. So Sumire says Kawaki, and Kawaki says, relax, Sumire, I'm totally sane. It may look violent, but we're just having a talk. And Kawaki says, at this point, I don't care that you've been tinkering with my body like it's a toy. However, that is now, I'll decide things from here on. And Amuro, how many times have we seen Amuro in this situation? I feel like we've seen him in this situation all the time. It's like a reoccurring thing. Often. Yeah, like he gets himself into like situations like this. And he somehow gets out. Kawaki says on page 5, he's like, change my settings, amp up my offensive power to max. If you won't, then you're of no use to me, Aku. That's crazy. And he's like, I'm not kidding. And he says, look into my eyes, you see that? And then, what is this next photo? Is that Amuro's eye in that panel? It is.
Yeah, it is.
So Amuro. So okay. He says only battle in your sleep, and he turns Kawaki's his shutdown code. He activated Kawaki's shutdown code. But then, what's very interesting is then the next panel on page 7, they have a close up of his eye, and it's like very intense, like something's going on. But the panel before that, his eye wasn't doing that. Do you think Amuro has some type of power or something?
I think it was the code that works. Like, yeah. That Ima that he pushed it to sleep and he was, like, shocked, probably.
Welcome back, Watchbird.
Yeah, I think Kawaki was shocked that Amuro can, like, put him to sleep.
And don't you think he knew that, though?
I mean, maybe he did not. He's not, like, stop this, so...
Didn't Boruto say something about that or not? In the last chapter.
I don't think so. But has he seen it? I don't think he's seen it firsthand. Because when he did it to Delta, they were at the little hideout. I don't know what it is, but the hideout. Only him, Amuro, Koji, and Delta, of course, were there. So that was the first time we've seen it. Koji was like, I suspect I have one of my own. They shut down.
Yeah, that's what it was.
When he did it to Code, it was Code, who else? Shikamaru, Franco, right? Because it was Delta, but the good one. Now, who else was there? Ada. That was the one in the room.
Yeah.
And then they went to the other place. They went to wherever Ada and David are at. What is that?
Boruto told Kawaki to go get his limiters off. And that's why he's doing this now. So yeah, Borfo is using a feature code.
Shutdown code, though. I don't think he was like, oh yeah, it's a shutdown code with it too. Watch out. You know?
And then, so here we have Sumire witnessing it, and in her head we see she's talking to herself. It says, a failsafe just like with Delta, an emergency shutdown code. Sumire is taking all that information in, and I think she's like a silent weapon for that. And he Amado knows, and he says, you have impeccable timing, Sumire. Can you help me move him? And so the way he says it is almost like Sumire is destined to pop up at these moments.
Impeccable timing?
Yeah, maybe that's something about her that she pops up at the right time for things. I don't know. That could be something.
I mean, it's all destiny, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So then, the very next panel, we see Kawaki again on the floor. Ikimoto just keeps having that meme or some shit.
He's sleeping, leave him alone. He's
sleeping Kawaki again.
Look like he didn't do this for the last 10 chapters.
Right. That's crazy. Okay, so now we're on to the next scene. We have Team 7 with Ryu. And then who were the other two? The other two ninjas from the Sand Village. Yoda. Can you hear that? Can you hear the dog?
What dog?
Okay, you can't. Okay, good. Guitar. Let's continue. So Yoda and all them. So Kawaki's sleeping. We see Team 7 on the next scene. And here's Mitsuki talking to Ryu. He says, meet Yoda, the girl on the left, and the one with the blade is Arya. Honestly, the blade is thick. He says, hi there. And it's this scene seems very intense. Like, you can just tell. That, like, they got their, he's got his hand in his pockets, and Yoda is, like, pissed. Okay, so on the next page, we get to page 10. Sarada saying she's shy, it takes her time to warm up. Tone it down, Yoda, you're not a kid anymore. So Arya's like talking shit. So now we see Matsuri and Konoharu, and I feel like this is gonna be like a really memorable scene in the anime when it comes out. I mean, she is on the cover of this chapter too. And she's basically saying she likes Konohamaru, right? She's like, what do you think? And Konohamaru's like, well, I don't know if I get it completely, but at least you seem fine physically and your color's good. And she says, I have no idea why, but for whatever reason, it seems like I was super nervous. But as I started feeling more and more normal, how could that be? And he said, Konohamaru says, maybe because we just met. It's not uncovered. She says, I feel like I'm finally my true self. I'm really enjoying talking to you. And that kind of seems a little cringe.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I think it's something else to it. So, I think they're the only ones that have been with their, like, target for a long period of time. The only one was Hidari, right? He was face-to-face with Sarada, but he was fighting her.
Yeah.
They're not fighting. So, I wonder if it's, like, they were talking about wild beast cubs in a previous chapter. I'm wondering if it's, like, their nurture and then the nature, they're putting one of the like Shinju's against the other one in that sense. So one is going to be natured, or it's going to be doing stuff by its nature, Hidari, or he's going to try to kill Sarada. And then the other one is going to get nurtured by whoever's nurturing them, either Konohamaru or whatever, but it's Matsuri. Because
Right.
That's the only thing I can think of with wild beast cubs and art. Just
so you child art. You think we're going to see Konoha retain Matsuri and make him fight, or make her fight Ryu?
I mean, I don't know about tame, because they're still sentient, right? They can, they're of free will, at least somewhat, compared to actual animals. Well, even the animals that Shinobi are with, they're in contracts, or they're in whatever, like dogs, the toes, all those. But
yeah,
I think it's going to be a nature versus nurture. They're going to not literally match them up, like, oh, Hinari's going to fight Matsuri. But they're going to show you the nature side and the nurture side of development for the two different, whoever it be. You know?
Yeah.
Like, Jurassic thing.
So, we see at the bottom of this page, we see Konohamaru, or we see Matsuri saying, would it be okay if I called you Konohamaru-chan? And it's like, that, like, what? Shocker. whoa! And then the next page, we see Konohamaru having a flashback of him as a kid. And with Moegi, and it's her saying Konohamaru-chan, like, her moments of her saying that throughout their life. And then it goes back to him looking at Matsuri. I think Konohamaru is, like, extremely worried. Like, this is insane. I don't even know how Naruto would handle this. This is crazy. So the next page, we see it's Mitsuki and Ryu. And I think this scene is really badass. He said, Ryu said, so where is it, this clue that might lead to Boruto, to that Boruto guy? You said you saw something around here, right? Wouldn't he know that it's Boruto Otsutsuki? Why is he saying Boruto guy?
You know, well, I think it's just a casual thing, right? How he calls Jura sensei or elder, or whatever. He's not really casual, but it's more loose. I don't know.
He's vague. It's a little. He's being vague. I don't know. It's weird. Okay, so then all of a sudden. So wait, all of a sudden, Ryu, he uses his, like, metal sand ability, and, like, I think it looks crazy. I think this would be, like, something cool. It meets Sara there, it's a badass little scene. And Sara's asking Ryu what he's doing, and he said, oh, this? I'm spreading iron sand around. It's my detection ability. I learned a lot of things using it. He says he's gonna pulverize the area a bit, and Boruto is nearby, he'll find him quickly. And so, and then he brings his iron sand around to Yoro, and she still has her pissed off face, right? And he said, Ryu says, "What mighty bloodlust you got, Ms. Yoro?" With the Z, Ms. And he said, I was right about you. Your bloodlust is off the charts. So he already knows that she's mad at him. That's kind of like a signal for him, you know? He already knows.
I'm wondering if that's part of the sensitive ability. Because there's a lot of abilities or just people that can all sense intent.
Yeah, exactly. That's I'm pretty sure that's what it is. No, they pointed it out.
With emotions in that one.
Yeah, like Naruto is Teddy mode, who else? Or the QB, whatever. And then Damon, of course, right? His whole shit is about intent. So, who else? I think Kawaki did it too, but that was really just Kawaki talking about Mitsuki, right? When it was chapter one, I think. Kawaki was like, cool down your bloodlust. Because, basically was thinking about Boruto appearing.
Yeah.
He thinks it's really Kawaki, you know, mind swap.
Yeah. So on the next page, we have page 16. We have Yoro, and she said, "Don't let it bother you. I'm always like this. All of us ninja are." And that's kind of like, that's like a weird, that's like a bad look for all ninja, I guess. And Misuki said, "Hey Ryu, can I ask you something?" He says, "Konoha Village considers Boruto a criminal. That's why we're hunting him down. Why are you guys looking for him?" And then there's a moment of silence. We see everyone's expressions real quick. And he said, Ryu says, "Honestly, I don't really understand it myself, but he apparently knows too much about stuff, like the thorn bulbs." And Tara says, "Thorn bulbs?" On the next page, page 18, Ryu says, "Yeah, a lot of other things too. He's become rather inconvenient for us. So Elder Druid decided to kill him." And Sarda said, "Thorn bulbs? I think I remember Boruto mentioning those." He says, "Hey Ryu, and maybe we can use one as bait to lure Boruto out. What do you think?" That's a pretty cool way to end the scene. And then we hop back to page 19. So this scene is back with Kawaki, Amino, and Sumire. Kawaki wakes up, he's on the bed. Amino's looking on the computer or something. Surprised he's not smoking a cigarette. And Amino, he already knows Kawaki's awake. And he says, "Don't flip out, Kawaki, let's have a civil talk." This is where things get crazy. Page 20. This is something very, very interesting. So Amino says, "I do hear your point. The divine trees are definitely a threat, and I did not foresee their emergence at all. I will have to modify your ability setting to fully offensive power form in order to stand up to them." And then he says, "But only one," he stands up, "one condition, on one condition." And on that panel right there where he says that, he's walking towards something in the back. And the next panel, we get closer. And the next panel is closer. And we see, like, the one after that. And it's literally an Akibi clone inside of this device. And at the front of the device, there's a little hole, like a little shape for a comma. And it's just Akibi sitting here. This is very interesting. This can go anywhere, Connor. And I'm very surprised to see this.
Yeah, I'm wondering. So that whole, like, setup of the little tube or whatever, it looked like an incubator, but to me, especially with her, what she's wearing, it's a weird, like, cloth over the front, but, I'm wondering if they're going to do that for the callback to when Jigen did it to him, to Kawaki. Remember? Mm-hmm. Kawaki was in an IV bag looking thing, and there was a pot on the floor with tubes coming up to it.
Yeah,
and Jigen, when he was talking about, "I'm going to give you a gift." Yeah, Kotu. "I'm going to give you a gift," and then he put his hand, his whole arm, really, in the thing, and then phew, like, the karma just transferred into the water. The water went up the pipes. It filled up the bag. And then we know what happened. Two people lived, and one of them got a good karma.
So that's what they're doing up here.
Yeah.
Honestly.
They're doing it for the purposes of in the future, right? Because we all know Kawaki has some change. We don't know what caused it or why he even changed for that cause, right? Like, oh yeah, this caused something, but why would it justify it? Because at the beginning of episode one, or really just flash forward scene, right? The flash forward scene when they're fighting Boruto versus Kawaki. He's talking about he's gonna send him somewhere it's no longer I'm going to kill you, right? As we know for now. So I'm wondering if that change of heart right there also is going to tie in with whatever this is right here, where that I'm thinking he's going to refuse to do the Akabi thing, because even before, right, in part one, or Naruto Next Generation, when he was telling Boruto about, oh, you could just put your karma on somebody else and resurrect, right? He was talking about, and I know the perfect person, Code.
Yeah.
He was for it, right? He was for, you know, the a life for a life, basically. And then Boruto, of course, being good, he refuses. He's not going to take a life, even if it means to save his own. Which will bite him. I already know. But I'm wondering if they're doing that whole setup of, look, there's a little karma shape to put your hand over, probably, and then hum, transfer, well, and then it goes
I was thinking, you know, maybe Akabi is not who we think she, like, why would we want her to have karma? Like, just, like, that's the only way to make her actually come back to life. But what do you think? Don't you think she might, this might take a twist and she'd actually, like, get some Shibai power or something.
But I don't know. It's
like he probably put something in her already, some genetic stuff in Shibai. Yeah,
from what we know, he knows he's exhausted all options. You know? Mm-hmm. That was back then when he flashbacked of what he was doing before he met Jigen. He was like, oh, they tried medicine, the doctors, they tried medicine and shit, and he was like, nah. I found another way, and it was cloning, right? And the cloning didn't work because it kept coming back, but it was never her. And then he finally broke down, and Jigen came up behind him. So yeah. From what we know, he said he tried everything. Whether he's lying, because he said that when to Naruto and them, right? Yeah. Whether he's lying, I don't know, but from what he told me, I got to take him at his word. Because... And he even said it again with Ishiki when they were in the little root, or is it root or foundation? The Danzo hideout that can obstruct the Byakugan. When they were, it was him, Katasuke, Sumire, and Kaoki. This is before Kaoki got teleported over to the fight in Naruto and Ishiki and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was talking to Kaoki, he was like, hey, is it the feeling of powerlessness or grief over losing the karma? Because this is when Kawaki had no karma, so he had no power, and he felt like he couldn't do anything. He was literally just sitting there, right? Hiding. Which goes back to his backstory with him and Jigen. He running around the facility trying to get away. He hid in a closet. He made him come out. You know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But when he told them that, he was like, I'm just doing what I think is best at the moment. You know, he's reading out of the whole situation. This is paraphrasing. It's not what he actually said, but this is basically what he said. He was reading the whole situation, and he just goes with the answer he thinks is best, which at the time was to flip over and help the good guys defeat the bad guys, because if it was no good... If it was no competition, if it was nobody contending against what Ishiki wanted, there would be no world, meaning there would be no world for his daughter if they even brought him back. Because he don't even know if he could.
Mm.
But I think that's... I don't think there's anything more to it. I really think it's just him trying to get his daughter back.
Okay, well...
There's all this weird stuff that he tells him.
So, Kawaki argues with him in the next few pages. So, Amano says... That's not Delta. It's a separate, fresh clone body that he prepared for Akibi, a resurrection vessel. He said, all I need you to do is implant this vessel with the karma, and my daughter can be reborn. And he says he added Akibi's data to that karma to make that happen. And he says he failed many times at doing this. Or trying to get her resurrected. And he says he needs help from Kawaki. And Kawaki says, I'll say this again. If your revived daughter turns out to be an Otsutsuki, I will kill it, no exceptions. Well, my thoughts on that is, if he gives his karma to a TV and then a whole resurrection happened right then and there with the vessel, or maybe the karma, Pulaki's going to lose his karma. So, like, how would that happen? You know, how's that going to work?
They don't lose their karma when you transfer. Jigen still had his when he gave it to Kaori.
But it went away from Pulaki when...
It went away when Jigen revived.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So if Kawaki puts his karma on Akibi and then she is revived, his would go away. That's what I'm saying. Kawaki's karma would go away.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Right, because I'm thinking the data is what erases it. Because that's part of the reason why it even disappears when they resurrect. Because they don't want duplicate people or personalities, whatever. Yeah. So I'm thinking only the data determines which personality is going to be erased from all the other karmas. So maybe it might just be that. I don't know. We got to find out.
So he said in the unlikely event that Akibi truly happens to resurrect as an Otsutsuki, which I think we all know that's going to happen. Says you can do it. You don't think so? You can do it. So I'm going to say he's going to fight Kawaki if that happens. So, I can't accept your terms. He says, power me up comes first. I'm not interested in creating something that might become a new enemy. And he says, the sequence of events is the issue. He says, look, I swear that I will implant that karma in that clone on the premise that I might kill her right away, but only after all our current foes are wiped out. So this might be a while before any of this happens.
But I don't think she's going to become I don't think she is an Otsutsuki when she gets resurrected.
I think she could. Well, there's always the theories and rumors of that Akibi died because he tried to implant her with Shibai cells in the first place, and then she died, and it was very hard to get her to come back somehow.
Well, it said it was an illness. It was some unknown illness that she had. It looked like a fever. And you know, it's funny too. This goes back to a theory I had like multiple years ago. It's the heroin syndrome. I think that's what Mitsuki called it. Or something like that. Not heroin, like, you know, the drug, but heroin as in female hero, right? Female hero. So Mitsuki, and I forget what episode, probably episode 19. I think so. Episode 19 of Boruto, right? He said, first off, it was the Sarada Shin arc, right? It was the Shin arc. It was when Boruto wasn't really involved too much. So you're wondering, okay, if it's a show about Boruto and they're not involving him, then there's a reason for this, right? Oh, well, it was a novel. No, there's something else to it. There always is, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of what Mitsuki was talking about. So Sarada and Chocho are at a table, I think at some burger place. I don't know if it's Thunder Burger, but some place, right? Some food restaurant. Mitsuki, how he always does, he just pops up out of nowhere. It's that little running joke of him just appearing out of nowhere. That he had back then. And what's that? Okay. Well, either way, there was this running joke of him popping up out of nowhere. And when he pops up, he always says something cool, right? Or something interesting, at least. And then this time, he pops up and he's talking to them about something that happens, right, in young girls when they're trying to define who they are. That's what he described the heroin syndrome as, where when they're trying to define who they are, right, boom, it just happens. And I was wondering, why would you say that? And then I was thinking, oh, hold on. She told that to Sarda because Sarda's trying to figure out who she is, right? She didn't know if her dad and her mom were really her dad and her mom at the time. Same with Chocho, right? Chocho was looking for the guy who touched her on the forehead. It turned out to just be skinny Choji, right? And then, but what I'm seeing the connection of, right, because those were two different scenarios between Chocho and Sarda. The common factor, the common denominator is always that they have fevers. Chocho, she was on the bed, right, when she had her flashback of who her father looked like, and it was just a silhouette because they didn't want us to know yet. She had a fever. She had the little towel over the forehead. Same with Sarda. They flashback to Sarda when she had a fever. And actually, that's when she unlocked her Sharingan. Not whenever she went to go find Sasuke and she went inside the building and then Sasuke pulled the sword on her. She has had the Sharingan for a while. And it was back when that happened, when she had a fever. Right? And then
It's all correlating with the fever.
Yeah, so like I'm about to tie it, right? Himawari also had one. Episode 18.
Right.
Where in episode 18 she got sick. Boruto and Naruto are arguing about what they should give her for food, right? What they should make her. Boruto talking about some hamburger steak. And Naruto, of course, he's talking about ramen. Because it's him, right? Hamburger and ramen, Boruto and Naruto. But yet again, she has a fever. And then in that episode, what else happens? Episode 18. It's her unlocking the Byakugan. It's in the flashback portion of it when they're doing the inauguration for Konohamaru. For Naruto, Konohamaru steps in and takes over because Naruto got knocked out by Himawari. But it's, again, another person with a fever. And then now, we go back to the Tubular Vortex, or even just part one, they show Akabi when she is sick in the same thing. She's covered up, you know, with a blanket over, and then she has the forehead towel, probably a hot steaming towel. Or is it a cold towel?
Which one
is
the one they think is
a cold one? Yeah, cold.
Yeah.
They have a cold towel over the head. And then that makes me think, okay, why would they be questioning who Akabi is, right? Because Akabi is his daughter, Amato's. But then Kawaki's talking about something. If she turns out to become a Nosuski or is a Nosuski, it's because of the identity thing. They're pushing this heroin syndrome. That sounds bad, but the heroin syndrome that Misuke explained way back then. So something is going to happen because everyone that we've seen have a fever has powers in also in that same episode where they tell us that. Sarda had the Sharingan, Owari had the Byakugan. It doesn't matter that it happened before the fever, but or even during the fever. It's just that they always tie back a fever and then a power up. And then Chocho, same thing. Right, her in her butterfly mode. And then now Akabi and whatever her power would be. So if it's
right,
if she does become a Nosuski or is a Nosuski already and they're gonna resurrect her, I think it's a bait and switch, right? So she's gonna show attributes of a Nosuski, but then not actually be one. That's what I think.
I don't know. Who knows?
He said he failed time after time. What if that meant that he hasn't perfected a perfect body clone vessel that can handle it?
He gave up because he said, this is the domain of gods. Right? That was the chapter episode even. But it was called the domain of gods. That he said, you know, this is something that humans shouldn't have been in. Right? So, yeah. I'm assuming he's talking about, and then he even told, I think, who did he tell? he told somebody, maybe even just the readers, and I know where to use it. It's in the karma. The karma is the way. That's how we're gonna do it, and that's why he's, putting everything in on this karma resurrection plan. He's totally banking everything on it.
So if we go back to we're on page 7 or 27, chapter 18. Welcome back, Strix. So on page 27, so they argue, I'm going to call it argue, and this is very interesting. Kawaki says, use any means, whether scientific or otherwise, to make me stronger beyond all limits. Then he says, divine trees, code, and Boruto. He says, you will only reunite with your daughter after a slaughter them all. But he is serious about killing Boruto. And it seems like that's probably what that chapter one of Next Generation was. That's what it's going to come down to. He doesn't care. He's going to have to kill Boruto.
Well, no, he said he's going to send him somewhere. That is a change of heart somewhere. From now until then, it's some change of heart. It could not even be like a literal 180. It could just be a slight change. But it's definitely a change of heart. He's not trying to kill him in the prior. I guess it's the future. In the future, in episode 1.
But as of right here, he's saying he wants to kill him.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to team up, though, soon. So, okay. So, anyways. On the next page, 28, we get back to Konohamaru and Matsuri. And she says, I wonder how the voice actor is going to do this, too. Well, I wonder if it's actually Noegi's voice actor. But they say, this is the best day of my life. To get to talk so much with you, Konohamaru-chan. Well, not that I've been alive very long, but I'm still so happy Konohamaru-chan will. And he stopped and he said, wait, hold on. He said, I'm sorry, but could you not call me that? He doesn't even say please. He just said, could you not call me that? He says, why was wrong? He says, there's only one person who called me that. Oh, he completely, that's kind of got off track from the mission. He's mentioning Malegi, basically. He says, you see, it surprises me too, but it's giving me goosebumps. You don't mind, do you? Just call me Konohamaru. And the next panel, page 30, Matsuri's pissed, instant, like that. Like, it goes from her being all, blushy, blushy, and instant, boom, she's all, upset and mad. And she says, only one. Yeah, no, it will look cool. What the Rangon? Because it zooms in. This panel right here zooms into the Rangon too. She says, only one person, and who's that? And it starts getting intense. And he says, oh, don't read too much into it. And she's pissed. She says, you wouldn't happen to be referring to Matsuri Moegi, would you? It's like, what? And then she says, I'm right, aren't I? So what? Is that woman to you exactly? And it's like the next page, 32, her cloak, it looks like a tree branches or something. Because, Moegi could do Woodstock, right? So Matsuri gets tree branches off her cloak, and it's about to kill or threaten him. And then boom, this is so intense. And then boom, page 33, we're back to Team 7 and Ryu. Mitsuki's here, he says, and Ryu says, I see. Use the thorn bulb as bait. That's some super smart thinking. And you just see it coming out of Ryu.
Yeah.
And by that,
about that Matsuri shot?
Yeah.
The zoom in, I hope they do a vertigo effect. If y'all know what a vertigo effect is, it's where they push the camera forward to whatever's in the forefront, but then the background moves differently from it. You've seen it a lot. It's a very common thing whenever they want to zoom in. They zoom in on the foreground, but then the background moves. It's an illusion. It moves independent, basically, of the foreground. So I think I want that to be a vertical effect. And then same with the branches or her little, I don't know, the the thing on her person, the scarf looking
cloak
or something thingy, it looks like a squid or an octopus, whichever one. Because I don't know how many is on there. It's like 8 or something. So it's octopus, but those little arms. It reminds me of the Himawari thing. They're doing the little hair jutsu thing, but with her, I don't even know what it's called, outfit thing. So, and it also reminds me of the alien from Life. If y'all have seen Life, it's Ryan Reynolds' movie. Well, a lot of good actors are in it, but it's a Ryan Reynolds movie because he was in it. And it has this alien that has... It like evolves, and it moves exactly like how I want those things on Matsuri to move. Whenever they do that, I want that type of movement, which is pretty. You know, I'm pretty sure they'll do it because like they've had multiple people that do this little like changing of the literal body parts to convey movement. But like Jirai with his hairstyle, anybody with their hairstyle. Or jutsu, whatever. And then who else has it? Himawari. Yeah. Kushina has it, right? Whenever she's angry, her hair stands up. That's the one I was thinking of. Kushina. I want that to look like Kushina. And it also reminded me of the Himawari, though, because it looked like she was about to blow a bomb at him, like a tail beast bomb. It's the same way that she did it to Jura.
Conor Oliver's always finding himself in these weird situations, like with pain and stuff.
Yeah, it's always him and romance, too. It's always him and romance.
Okay, so on page 34, so we see Ryu throws the thorn ball, or it comes out of his chest, it floats out of his chest. It starts, wow, that's it, just like the one I saw. And there's a cool panel of it. And Yodo says on page 35, thorn bulb. And then Ryo says, now then, let's see if they bite. Is he breaking the fourth dimension in this panel? That was a big thing when this released.
Nah.
You don't think so? He literally turns around, he says, now then, let's see if they bite. What?
Yeah, but.
Is he turning to meet
someone? I think he's just trying to be funny.
Oh, I guess it's kind of like how in acting, they're like speaking to the fourth wall, and the fourth wall is the audience.
Yeah, it looks like it, but I think it's confirmed that he's just talking to Mitsuki. But yeah, Jura is smart enough to do that.
I think he's just trying to be smart, you know? Like, literally.
Yeah.
Because his personality is literally. I'm pretty sure the opposite, damn near, of Shinki. Shinki is so serious all the time. And he's more lackadaisical, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, so we see, right here, Yodo on the next page, 36. Yodo jumps and tries to grab the thorn bolt. Like already, and it looks like it's a very slow scene. Like the animation is gonna be slow for this. And we see Mitsuki's faces up close. What?
It reminds me of Shinki in the Chunin exams. Mm. Shinki is up in the air, right? Because he has his little wings. I forget what he calls them, iron wings, something like that. But he's flying in the air. Sarada and Boruto are there, and Sarada thinks she dodges or deflects or whatever the Shinki's attack. It wasn't. He was baiting them in because it's a homing thing. So she jumps up in the same way that they slowed it down in Boruto's perspective, or really in our perspective because we're watching through Boruto. And she jumps up in the air, talking about some what did she say? Chanaru, whatever. The little categories that they have, they're about to swing or punch. And then Boruto is like, Sarada, and then boom, hits him with the little feathers, and it completely takes her out of the battle. And then she gets, you know, not DQ'd because she didn't do anything, but she can't continue. Rock Lee has to say, she can't continue no more. It reminds me of exactly that. So I wonder if they're going to do it like that too, where they, she's up, and then slow down, and then boom, done.
Yeah. So, what we see on the next panel, we see the Iron Singer go around her, and then he starts laughing. She says she can't move, and Ryu's like, gotcha. I thought this might be the case. And then Misty's like, wow, he's not that dumb. It's like a shocker.
Yeah.
And then, so the Iron Singer starts coding everyone's bodies, and then they started to make some move. And this attack, he says they're being manipulated like puppets.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if that means, I think you learned that.
Yeah, and then, what was his name with the blade?
Araya.
Alright, so what happened is, we see this big slash, and it's him. Because he was a puppet user, right, before?
Yeah, he was a puppet user.
So he knows. He knows what's going on with some puppetry with the Iron Sand.
He used his chakra threads to control his.
Yeah, and this is what... They waited until the end of the chapter to show him off. Which is cool, as a cliffhanger. But it ends with his saying, Shiki, I never thought I'd have to use this. That I created for us in this way. Tingy, will you lend us a hand too with this battle? And he has a Sansing blade, a lodestone Sansing blade. And Rhea says, what the heck? That's so not fair. So is that about to get interesting? We don't know. The Connor Hammer thing is also interesting, but we'll see. The next chapter comes out this month in February. So that concludes chapter 18. There is some big news we have for the podcast. We are adding another series and another way of recording and posting podcasts. We are partnering with the largest X/Twitter community, Bordo community. It's called Bordo Two Blue Vortex. And they have around 20,000 members. And we are going to be hosting the podcast first. Twitter space or X space on there on February 22nd. We will post in the Discord, the podcast Discord, the schedule. We will continue to have our regular podcast recordings here in the Discord, but we will also include another way of recording that we will also host through the Twitter space for anyone who's interested over there. We also have Boruto Club. Go to www.boruto.club or tubuvortex.com. We're all part of the same community, and I hope to see you there. Thank you guys for coming.